welcome to Stone Cold Stroh's episode 9 of season 2. I'm Brandon Strange. I'm joined by Charlie Palillo and Josh Jordan. Read Charlie's column weekly on sportsmap.com and follow him on X at Palillo. Follow Josh on X at JoshJordan975 and read his work daily on sportsmap.com. Gents, a lot has happened since the three of us last spoke. All of the winning, but that's really only amounted to not much. The other really positive thing that has happened, Ronel Blanco has announced his arrival to the leagues. Charlie, this is pretty unexpected. It's an unexpected bright spot out of a few unexpected bright spots here. What has Ronel Blanco's performance meant to a team that has had trouble in unexpected places in pitching?
Well, close to single-handedly averting a disastrous start for the Astros. You know, they'd gone and gotten swept in Arlington. Like, the season would have been remotely close to over, but 2-9, that would have been fairly deep doo-doo for not even yet into mid-April. But 3 wins in the first 10 games, Blanco authors a no-hitter for one of them and then goes into the 6th inning. I don't think Johnny Vandermeer was spinning in his grave yet, but, you know, maybe rustling just a little bit as the Astros halted the bleeding in Arlington with the win on Sunday night. So it's a great story. It's probably a temporarily great story. He's 30 years old. Now, it said we're never too old to change. And the change up, is this going to revolutionize Ronel Blanco into Justin Hu as the front man for the Astros rotation? I doubt it. But take what you can get. And obviously, Blanco has earned himself at least an extended stint in the Astros starting rotation for one that overall has been all right through the nearing first couple weeks of the season. But, you know, hemorrhaging in enough areas that without Blanco, you can't flat out say, well, if he didn't pitch those 2 games, they'd have lost those 2 games. But we know he pitched in them, didn't give up a run in either of them. So congrats to him, along with, by the way, having a kid in the same stretch.
Yeah, he's been fantastic, and he's also protected your bullpen. I know he went 6 innings in his last game, but hey, that's Hunter Brown wishes he could give you 6 innings, I'll tell you that. So he's doing what you need him to do. I mean, that was a tight game, and Astros held on. Even when Blanco's in there the other night, the bats didn't explode. Thank goodness for Yordan hitting that 3-run bomb, but Blanco's been great. I don't know. I know he's 30 years old, but he's not 35. And he has had incredible success in the minor leagues, in the Dominican Winter League. So he has had this before. I think that extra pitch is what you need to get big league hitters out. Who knows if it's sustainable, but I'm not tinkering with it. It's kind of like when you have a backup quarterback in football and he's winning you games while your starter's down. You don't automatically, you know, unless the guy's Joe Montana as your starting quarterback, often they will ride out the backup until he starts losing. You keep riding that hot streak. So with me, with Blanco, I'm not pulling him out of the rotation unless performance dictates that, because Hunter Brown is not pitching well, which is continuing from what he did last year. JP France is keeping you in games, but he's not doing anything to blow your doors off. So right now, and who knows how Verlander is actually going to pitch when he finally rejoins the rotation. It might take him a while to get in the swing of things. So while somebody's hot and pitching well, or maybe you're right, Brandon, maybe the league catches up with them. They get used to the changeup. Who knows? But I'm riding that hot streak until it's not hot anymore.
Yeah, look, removing him from the rotation at this point is a non-option. I'm already weary of hearing, well, all the relief pitchers who are out of options. You know, option one and he gets claimed by someone, so what? Due respect to Taylor Scott and some others. It's 2 starts for Blanco, but 2 wow starts. His next one will be against the Rangers at Minute Maid Park this weekend. So they'll get a second look at him in short order. If they do nothing against him again, you know, that grows the as this guy had a baseball late in life, just absolute epiphany adding that pitch. But, you know, if they get 6 good weeks out of him in the rotation, 2 good months out of him in the rotation, that is way more than anybody had any reason to anticipate from Ronel Blanco, including Dana Brown, who at least gets the credit going back to last spring and saying, hey, Blanco's the guy maybe we stretch out as an emergency option, a depth man for the rotation. But remember, last April, Hunter Brown had more than 2 good starts. JP France was outstanding for about 2 months before a fade after that. So the whole sample size thing, obviously a two starts counts, but those two starts count. And he's just been amazing, right? If he allows one hit every two starts over the course of the season, I predict he wins the Cy Young Award.
Good call.
So if this were Survivor and you had to vote one of these guys out of the rotation, who definitively are you voting out of the rotation as it stands right now?
Ooh, tough word, definitively. If you're still holding on to Hunter Brown being your premier pitching prospect, and he was a real quality pitching prospect, but not thought of as one of the great starting pitching prospects in the minor leagues, right? On the Astros island of not misfit toys, but certainly not stud prospects, Hunter Brown was deemed the best of them. But he's not, say, what Grayson Rodriguez was coming along for the Orioles, or any other real hot stuff pitching prospect. He hadn't been good for a pretty long while now. It's between he and France. There's no question about that. Fromber's safe. Javier's safe. Blanco is safe. So I think it's an ongoing audition. You know, do you feel that Brown or France is more likely to give you better innings as a middle reliever type? Because they're not going to go into high leverage late game situations. Are you kicking Brown to the curb? Are you doing damage to his psyche if you remove him from the rotation? Well, you know, his ERA is nearly 6 since May 1st of last year, so I'm not worried about hurting his feelings at this point. Pure meritocracy. Josh hit on a key phrase of France keeping them in the game. Right, 2 starts, 5 2/3 innings, 3 earned runs. That's not quality, but it's also keeping you around at least. Whereas Hunter Brown, unlikely to get through 5 innings and totally hit or miss where he's going to give up 2 runs or 5 runs.
Yeah, for me, it's Hunter Brown for the reason Charlie just said. You're losing. You don't have time right now to take any more chances on, oh, we got to wait for Hunter Brown because he's such a great prospect. Like, you got to win some ball games right now. You got to focus on the short term, and then you can worry about Hunter Brown in the big picture later. And also point out, Christian Javier, they jerked him around from the rotation to the bullpen to the rotation to the bullpen. Seemed to work out fine for him. So if they want to do that with Hunter Brown, I don't have a problem with it. And J.P. France is that kind of pitcher. He'll tell you, like, if he can get through the first inning, he's probably going to have a pretty decent start. That's usually his tipping point. Is if he gets blown up in the first, it's over. That's where he really struggles, is getting through that first inning. And I know Hunter Brown walks more guys, but, you know, he was pretty decent in relief in the postseason last year. Hunter Brown has more bullpen type stuff with the higher velocity and, you know, the big curveball and the slider, the cutter. So for me, it's Hunter Brown, just because more recently J.P. France has been better. It's just the truth. So that's who I would roll with.
They have 2 more turns through the rotation to sort through this, right? With Verlander pitching at Sugarland Sunday, he should throw Friday. So if he's ready to come back to the major leagues, join the Astros after that, 4 days rest would be Wednesday, but a week from Wednesday is a day game. And so they may want to say, well, the extra few hours, and then you have an off day Thursday, a week from Friday at Washington could then be Verlander's regular season debut. So whether formally or just read the tea leaves, fellas, Hunter Brown particularly, J.P. France secondarily, you're on notice. You want to stay in the rotation? Show something over these next 2 starts.
Obviously, the disadvantage of putting Brown into the bullpen is that a guy who can't seem to throw strikes with his breaking stuff, he's either going to walk guys and get them on base or give up guys or give up hits because the guys are sitting on just his fastball. But you don't really have much of a choice right now. I mean, you need depth, especially in the bullpen. And I guess if we're breaking this down into kind of a cliched categorical thing, you talk, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good, your bright spots have been Blanco and guys like Jeremy Pena, who've started out really hot for you. There's the bad, which is almost expectedly bad. You know, stuff like Bregman's slow start, Jose Abreu picking back up where he left off in his 2023 early regular season. And then the ugly, which has been the bullpen. Shockingly bad in some parts. Unfortunately, we're not going to get to see Bennett Sousa. We hoped we might get a look at him. He's done with season-ending surgery. Brian Abreu, Ryan Pressly, and Josh Hader, the guys who you thought, okay, like, you don't know what it looks like in long relief, but the back end of your bullpen is going to be where you lock it down. It's been anything but. I don't know what is the solution here. I mean, I don't believe this is who Josh Hader really is. Ryan Presley has shown some, you know, at least glimpses of maybe getting it back on track. But guys, what do you do if the back end of your bullpen, like this is where all the money's invested in the bullpen, is in the back end to lock guys down, to close out games, and you can't count on that. That is bad if you're leaking water from that end of the boat.
Yeah, well, I just think you rely on the form chart there. Hader does walk guys, so there is some risk there. It's several seasons removed, but he had a year where he was giving up home runs left and right with the Brewers. He gave up like 15 home runs in 70 innings. That he hung the one slider to blow a save last week. You know, I don't want to go overboard with that. Josh Hader's really good. Ryan Presley, aging some. Does not have the same level of lights out stuff as Hader or Abreu. Maybe struggling a little bit of oomph out of him being demoted from the closer role, even though he's been absolutely professional about it in terms of how it translates to performance on the field. Maybe there's a little bit of a settle in time with that. I'm not buying that Abreu was set back by being suspended two games, right? He missed 2 days, not 2 weeks. It's not like he was prohibited from getting ready for the season in spring training. He just hasn't been good so far. But it's a very, very small slice of the season, right? If you're listening in the car, honk. Well, don't honk, but just nod knowingly. If through the first 10 days of the season, you had Rafael Montero and Seth Martinez as being the Astros' most effective relief pitchers. What goes up must come down. Well, let's invert that. What's been down must come up. Hader, Presley, Abreu performances, individually, collectively. I wouldn't be unduly worried about any of them. So far.
No, I'm mostly not worried about it because there's nothing you can really do about it. You're not getting rid of any of these guys. You're not changing their roles. I don't see anything changing for quite some time, and you shouldn't. These guys, they have the pedigree where you just have to trust them. And you know, when players go to new teams, it's always a little, you don't know what to expect, whatever sport you play in. When you switch teams, it's kind of a wild card. So when we saw that with Jose Abreu coming over from the White Sox last year, that didn't pan out. But, you know, he's a player in his mid to late 30s, aging. Hader's still in the prime of his career. And he's not getting smashed all over the ballpark for the most point. He's missing here or there with some pitches, and it's come to bite him. But, you know, at least he got that final out, got his first save with the Astros the other day, even though it did come up with giving up another run. Presley, yeah, starting to look like maybe starting to come into form. Boy, that was some relief he showed when we got out of that inning on Sunday. Just, you know, thank the Lord. Yeah. And he had some good defense behind him too. Jake Myers and Chaz McCormick made some nice plays towards the end of that game to help out the ball club. And man, that is a big outfield there in Arlington for sure. So I think they're going to be fine. And Charlie mentioned Montero. Hey, at least he's bouncing back. Maybe that's a bright spot. He can actually help you this season. He's at what, 193 for his ERA. And you mentioned Seth Martinez, he's at zero. So, you know, maybe these two guys can kind of fill that role of the sixth inning guys that we've been searching for this year. Who's going to be those pitchers? Maybe they can be that. And I think they're going to find it. These three guys at the back of the Astros bullpen, they're just too good. I know relief pitchers can be up and down from year to year, but you just got to roll with them. I think they'll be fine.
And in the broader view, now when the Astros lost the Saturday game to dip to 2-7, that tacked on one more loss. But last season, the Astros had four completely non-overlapping stretches where they went 2-6 over eight games. This happens over 162 games. That it was the entirety of their resume and that it was the first eight games of the season lends itself to, uh-oh, and they stink and they better snap out of this sooner or later. They're probably going to lose 6 out of 8 somewhere in May or June or July or August or multiple months, because that's just how baseball works, right? A really good NFL team is not going to lose 4 out of 5. A really good NBA team, barring injuries, is not going to lose 6 out of 8. In Major League Baseball, it happens. It's happened to the Astros with better teams than this one may turn out to be this season. But because it happened to start the season does not mean the season is heading for the dumpster.
No, it's not how you begin. It's how you end. Also, it's going to be a lot about health. You know, you're hoping that you can get some guys back and those guys can contribute, because right now you have some found money and certain guys like Blanco and Montero, and you're hoping you can hold on to that found money in addition to getting reinforcements back from guys returning from injury and guys just getting back on track in general.
You know, I don't think a citizen should be commended for not committing a crime. Just being a good citizen is kind of what we're all supposed to be. Nonetheless, given the circumstances, props to the Texas Rangers for in multiple games of the series having the roof open for beautiful, as it's meant to be played when the skies are right and the climate is right, baseball. Take notes, Houston Astros organization.
I was wondering where that was going, but it should have known it was going to go to roof talk. All right, so gents, we talked about the Astros early, good, the bad, and the ugly. One of the ugly things that we're going to have to address has been the play at first base. Not necessarily defensively, but offensively. Right now, Jose Abreu has, like we mentioned earlier, he's kind of picked right back up where he left off in the early 2023 season. He looks like he's in early 2023 form in 2024. And in fact, it might be worse. Obviously, it's still early given his performance in the postseason last year. We do have some sort of hope that there is still game left in the tank for Jose, but it's not looking good early. There's not really much hope and getting production out of his backup in John Singleton just because of the career snapshot of what Singleton's been able to do, or more appropriately not do, over the course of his career. He's not really being helped either. I remember Bill O'Brien used to talk about complimentary football, and there's not really been a lot of complimentary baseball being played early with this team, whether it's hitting with runners in scoring position or just clutch hitting in general. The offense just really hasn't really been able to click outside of a couple games in which the offense has exploded. So we can't, this is not an indictment on Jose Abreu, and it's not an indictment on the production at first base per se, but it is a glaring weakness right now. There's a saying that sometimes the only way out is through. Is that what we're looking at here? Do the Astros just have to push through with who they have, or are there any moves that can be a solution to what's going on at first right now?
Well, nothing jumps out real positively on this. I know there is one alternative we shall get to shortly. Joe Espada's in a challenging spot on this. The first thing that he said since he became Astros manager that I was like, where's that can? Shh, the BS repellent? But what's he supposed to say? Going to the back of his baseball card, Jose Abreu's been a really good hitter for a really long time. Well, for more than a year now, he's been a crappy hitter. One of the worst players in Major League Baseball a year ago. And he's worse than that guy to start the season. As always, we're still in that small sample size phase. But when you take last year into account, one home run the last 55 games of 2022 into account, at bare minimum, this is a player in serious decline. The general notion is until you get 100, 150 plate appearances, that's where you really get a feel for where a guy is within a season. But Abreu is 37 years old, and that he has not had, I don't think, a handful's worth of good swings, much less hits or outcomes. He's late on virtually every fastball, gets himself behind in most counts. It's bad. But John Singleton being on a major league roster, it's approaching insulting to forget our intelligence, which I'm sure many have. You know, if you're on the Astros, you got to be saying, really? John Singleton's batting sixth in our lineup anytime he's in there because, well, I like the matchup there. You want measles or mumps? That's what you're choosing between Abreu and Singleton at this point. I'll address the minor league potential option. Joey Loperfido got his first run at first base over the weekend at Sugarland. He'd been outfield before that, but he has a little bit of first base in his background and second base. But we're homing in on first base here. Hey, the five home runs already for the Space Cowboys is very impressive. But Loperfido's first 31 at-bats, 14 strikeouts. John Singleton's thinking, geez, buddy, start making better contact than that. So that Loperfido's on a rocket ship to the major leagues. No, the power is enticing. And if he's considered to play a competent defensive first baseman, first base, okay. Because, I mean, Sunday night, Abreu replaces Singleton for defensive reasons? Either you guys have any other possibility for first base?
Wink.
Yeah. Any question?
Yeah, we're hearing a lot of clamoring for Dubon over there because, hey, at least he's a competent bat, right? From the minor leagues, Charlie went into all that. But I would like to put some perspective on Abreu because it's kind of more than the same. If you look at his OPS from last season, the whole 2023 season of qualified players, he had the ninth worst OPS in all of baseball. And he's your first baseman. Those guys are supposed to be your plus hitters, the power positions. And he's one of the worst hitters in baseball. And then we look at this year, if he had enough at-bats to qualify, he would have the worst OPS in baseball. I mean, just wrap your mind around that. It's incredible. And they're, I mean, Espada is not playing him every day. He's moved him down behind Chaz and Diaz in the lineup. That didn't take long. On the positive side of things, Altuve is like third or fourth in OPS in all of baseball. Yeah, he's fourth with an 1132. So you have the good and bad. Abreu, pretty much the worst OPS. Altuve, the fourth best. So that's kind of where it lies. But what's really incredible to me with Abreu is we've talked about Alex Bregman's struggles. Mm-hmm. His OPS is twice as high as Abreu's, and he's having a poor season. So that's just how bad it is. And that's why you're hearing these things, because it's the stats and then it's the eye test. Like Charlie pointed out, you watch Abreu, he's behind on everything, swinging at pitches in the other batter's box, even in full counts when he could just take a walk. I mean, it's just a hard watch with him. So, and he's already got fans upset from how it went last year and all the Bagwell stuff. So he's in a tough spot, but I don't know if they're going to do anything. We've heard all the clamoring for Dubon, but it's not like he has a lot of experience at first base. His numbers aren't great this year, but he's hardly getting in any bats. So I don't think it's that fair to really grade him because he's hardly getting to play. But it's early in the year. I think they're going to keep running Abreu and Singleton out there at least, I don't know, for several more weeks. I just don't think they have any other options that they're willing to consider. And then if you do start, you know, platooning Abreu to where he's only playing maybe twice a week or something like that, I mean, what is that going to do? I mean, I know his confidence is already terrible, but I don't know if that's going to make the situation any better. But I do understand Astros fans being like, at least Dubon is not a black hole in your lineup.
Yeah, he does not profile as a worthy major league first baseman. Last year in his breakout season, his OPS was 720, which for first baseman is not good. But when your incumbent is not even 250 and his backup, there's nothing that says he's a worthy major leaguer. So even if it's on a temp basis and you hope Loperfido starts making better contact and can force the issue a little bit, name we mentioned last week or week prior, Brandon Belt's probably out there. Dana Brown, my agent, get my number somewhere. Trade options, probably too early to even explore, you know, a major league caliber first baseman. And then there's what do the Astros have in terms of prospect capital. Some are going to mention Paul Goldschmidt, the Woodlands, then known as Southwest Texas State University. Still a good player, though he slipped last year, but way better than Abreu. Well, the Cardinals are off to a decent start, and they're not going to be out of the race for months, even if they do fall out of contention in the NL Central and then the wild card picture. So the Astros at first base look like they're going to be the hamster on the wheel. They're going to keep running, but not be getting anywhere anytime soon.
And again, I don't want to say it's unfair because it is fair because every position is up for examination here. But the offense in general has been challenged. Jordan's been feast or famine. Alex Bregman, as we have mentioned ad nauseum,
he's been famine.
Yes, a typical slow start. We almost expect this now. You can almost set your watch by Alex Bregman's slow start. But we also know, or at least we expect him to come out of it. And you know, by the end of the year, he'll look like a solid major league player. But I guess what I'm trying to get to is you kind of knew what you had last year. And Abreu, you couldn't have expected more this season. You hope for more. You hope that you find some money, but you couldn't really have expected. Is the point of this is if the rest of the roster start hitting like we expect them to, can the Astros just afford to fade first base? Is that what they're counting on?
Yeah, well, if we reference it to last year's team, if first base becomes the Maldonado spot and Yiner Diaz gives them way more than they got out of first base last season, that's a net plus if everyone else performs at the level they have or you hope that they do this season, right? Jeremy Pena is off to as encouraging a start as Alex Bregman is a discouraging start. And Brandon, you alluded to Bregman's lousy starts through April the last couple of seasons. What's disappointing more so about this is we heard Bregman in spring training by the way, when he was hitting near 400, and I feel great. I had my normal off-season of preparation for the first time in years, and I bulked up, and I swung weighted bats. I'm feeling stronger, and I fully expect to have the best season of my career, which was a pipe dream when he said it. Go look at your numbers for 2019, Alex. You think you're going to put those up? So then after having a big spring training to come out in the games that count and also very few good swings, lazy fly balls to the opposite field, infield pop-ups, but we're still talking the first 10, 11 games of the season. The baseball season as a game, we're in the bottom of the first inning. So there are plenty of ABs and games for things to sort themselves out. But sure, if the Astros are going to have a prolific top-tier offense, the cleanup hitter can't suck. And Alex Bregman so far has sucked. Altuve, great. Jordan, kind of like the postseason in 2022. Not a whole lot of hits, but boy, the ones he's come up with have done major, major damage. Right? Kyle Tucker's really good. Yiner Diaz cooled a little over the weekend. Well, he wasn't going to hit 400. So, you know, if that's a core forward, Bregman's their fifth best offensive player. That should be a really good lineup.
Yeah, and to put it in perspective with the Astros offense, they're eighth in OPS in all of baseball. So they're in the top 10. That's a good offense right there. OPS 743. And we'll look at the sample size and be like, is that enough to really matter? Well, first is the Braves, second is the Rangers, and third is the Dodgers. We all kind of expected them to be in that area as far as offensively, and the Astros are eighth. And that's with what Abreu's doing and Bregman's doing. Now, of course, you know, Altuve's hitting out of his mind, so, you know, he's going to take a little bit of a step back. I don't expect an OPS over 1,100 for Altuve for the whole season. That'd be nice, but I'm not expecting it. So they're right there. And I remember a lot of the season last year we were tracking this. Astros were kind of middle of the pack, 14th, 15th in OPS. But, you know, that they're in the top 10 right now, it just shows you that this can be a top five, top type offense. If you get the Abreu thing fixed, or if he comes out of it, who knows? But they're just in a tough spot because, you know, you mentioned the Maldonado comparison. You weren't paying Maldonado $20 million a year, and he's on the books for another $20 million in 2025. So it's a tricky situation. But if we're looking at positives, hey, top eight in OPS, Astros are hitting the baseball. The starting pitching has been very, very good. So I think eventually they're going to be okay. I'm seeing some good signs.
Yeah, last year they wound up top seven, maybe it was, in hitting with runners in scoring position. Right? Drive for show, putt for dough. So far, hits in the clutch have been few and far between. It's going to level out. It's not like all their guys are going to fail to hit with runners in scoring position all year. So it's a good lineup. It's a good lineup. The overall results just haven't been good through the first week and a half.
All right, that's going to be it for this episode of Stone Cold Strohs. If you listen on podcasts and you enjoy the show, please be sure to give us a 5-star rating. Charlie, Josh, and I will catch you on this podcast next week, but you don't have to wait that long to get your Houston Sports Fix. All you have to do is subscribe to SportsMap Houston and SportsMap Texans on YouTube, and we'll have more content during the week. Until next time, go Strohs.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.